beloved listeners. Happy Saturday afternoon or early evening to you out there. This is your host, Ken Lesser, with Advanced Living. So excited to be with you again today and have a special guest in store for you that some of you may not have had a chance to meet Eva yet. She's a host on another of the BBS radio programs, and I got to meet her, and she's an extraordinary woman with an amazing, amazing story. A little bit about her, a comment from Dr. Roy Scruggs, who's a NASA physicist on Apollo 13 mission, and he talks about Eva saying that as a teacher, few people are as gifted a teacher as this woman. She will bring hope to your future in ways you cannot imagine. She can teach you how to manifest your dreams, raise your consciousness, control your health, and change the world around you through the simple raising of your consciousness and implementation of agape, unconditional love for your fellow man. How's that sound, folks? A bit more about Eva. She has always had what, what some would call a normal career of being a litigation paralegal. Which can be demanding, I have to think. And since May of 2003, she has had a career of a health and emotional intuitive, quite a shift from the litigation status previously occupied. And as a result of what was called a dark night of the soul in 92, when during a six or seven week period, a lot went on in her life. The son was kidnapped by her own mother. She lost her job. She became pregnant at a time when she wasn't married. And her father had suddenly died. That's a lot going on, you can imagine. And as Eva comments, an experience like that could bring practically anyone to their knees, and that's what it did. It, unfortunately for some folks, it can take something like that that most of the time doesn't happen, but in order for that when it happens, it can be there for someone to understand their real mission in life is simply to be I am. And of course, Eva is going to share more with us about just that feeling that she brought forth into her life and how she can support you to do that. We'll just have a lot of fun today. Eva, I want to welcome you on and introduce you to my wonderful listeners. Eva,
thanks for having me, Ken.
Oh,
it's a pleasure.
Fabulous. So glad to have you here. Needless to say, you've had some amazing experiences, and I don't know giving you free rein for a bit, things would you find most important that you'd want to share on this beautiful day with our listeners?
You have to be careful giving me free rein, or I'll take over on this conversation.
Well, I put this in God's hands.
Well, I'll tell you what. One thing that I learned is when you're having a dark night of the soul, and I'm not the only one that says this. You know, Fred Allen Wolf, who was on What the Bleep, and I think he's on The Secret, too, and he's written, God, a handful of books. Himself, he's a quantum physicist and focuses on consciousness. If you're in the middle of a dark night of the soul, thank God, because it means the light is around the corner. It's just up to you how long it takes you to turn that light on. And what I mean by that is, you know, consciousness is a constant contraction and expansion of awareness, of conscious awareness of who you are, on the inside, what's going on around you in your immediate life, what's going around on in your life, in the mass around you, you know, your family, and then expanding out into your work, then expanding out into your city and your state and your country. You know, it's that recognition of what that is. So when it contracts and you get in the middle of a dark night of the soul, to whatever degree that you're in the dark night of the soul, that same degree of bliss is around the corner. Because that's the way, you know, everything is. Our bodies are binary systems. They're on or they're off. You know, science has proven that it's either on or off. Everything either is or it isn't. So if you're in the dark night of the soul, to the degree that you're in that, that degree of bliss awaits you around the corner. It's just, when are you going to stop making excuses for what's going on in your life? When are you going to stop blaming it on someone else? Well, this person hurt me, or this person said something to me, or this person broke up with me, or I got fired, or I got sick. You know, none of that matters, because in reality, time doesn't exist. There only is the instant moment. So everything's gone. What are you going to do with the next moment that's approaching, you know, a second from now and the next second? It's all about simple perspective and learning how to change that perspective.
Wow, that's so profound. Now, I take it from your background, this wasn't stuff that was in your consciousness when you spent those years as a litigation paralegal.
I was exactly like everybody else. In fact, I'm working on a consciousness project right now with some of the scientists in the world. We did terrible things in litigation. I remember I used to work for this firm that represented Owens Corning in the asbestos litigation.
Hmm.
Obviously, we were defendants, and the plaintiffs were people that were dying of mesothelioma and lung cancer and other lung-related diseases. You know, they were sick, and most of them were, you know, they were poor. They were blue-collar workers that worked on ships in the shipyards and in the steel mills. And what we used to do as a defense counsel is we used to do research and find out the birthdays and the anniversaries and the special dates that things went on in their kids' schools and stuff like that. And we would deliberately set depositions on the other side of the country just to make those people's lives hard and laugh about it. And now we wonder, you know, why the law firm fell apart and why Owens Corning got into all that financial trouble and why our lives fell apart, our marriages, our jobs, you know, everything. Because we did things. And, you know, I don't know if you know or not, but Bill Tiller, he was the chairman of the physics department at Stanford. He's done some research in consciousness that the conventional science is not really accepting right now. It doesn't mean it's not real, because it either is or it isn't real, where he's discovered magnetic dipoles. And what this means to the world is it means that the dipole, meaning that when an electron or a proton transmits some information, because we know that when you think a thought, that a proton or electron starts oscillating, you know, starts quivering.
Oh.
We know that, kind of like a revolving door. It goes, the air goes in, but it comes back outside, too, at the same time. So when you think a thought, if it's positive, it's going to transmit positive electromagnetic charge, and it's going to receive an electromagnetic charge. Can't help but, because that's the way physics works. If you think a negative thought, then it's going to transmit and receive a negative thought, and we think that it's through these magnetic dipoles that he's discovered. What he did was several experiments, but one of them that I found particularly interesting, he had two jars of water, just regular water.
Okay.
And he's in California, and he shipped them across the United States to the East Coast to a laboratory over there. And this is reproducible science. It's not just a one-time thing that he did. I mean, other people have been able to do it, too. With pure thought. First, he conditioned the environment through meditation and made sure that, you know, it was peaceful. But with pure thought, he changed the pH of that water up one whole point. Say if it was at 3, it went to 4. And then he did the reverse. He changed it down one point. Say if it was 3, it went down to 2. Well, that's a pretty profound thing, considering that if you change your pH level by even a quarter of a point, you die. But he did that with pure thought. So what does that tell you about the things that go on in your life?
And this was done when the water was on the East Coast and he was on the West Coast?
That's right.
Ah, so this
distance makes no difference. You know, it's all about, they've also proven, through the double slit experiment, that an electron can be in two places at one time. Well, what does that mean to the average human being? It means that, first of all, the electron is the basis for all mass. So when you think a thought, not only is an electron oscillating in your brain, but it's also wherever you focus that thought. If you're focusing it on your ex-husband, then there is an electron beginning to form some kind of mass or causality on the quantum level. They've proven it. So the thought is with you, but it's also where you place it at the same time. And for anybody interested, you just type in double split experiment on the internet. Of course, it'll be in, you know, physics language, but that's basically what it all boils down to.
Now, is some of this kind of related to, oftentimes husbands and wives or family members, they may be many miles apart, but oftentimes they can tune in to when the another member of the family or spouse is having some difficulty.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly the basis of why that happens. Now, the reason sometimes some people ask me, well, why doesn't everybody know this, or why doesn't everybody tune in to their family members all the time, or why doesn't the car appear in my driveway when I think about it, is because of quantum entanglement. That's a physics term. You know, it's like we live in a holographic environment, and we know that on a quantum level there is no mass. So we, you know, on the quantum level, there really aren't people walking around. It's, you know, basically we are pure consciousness, pure thought.
Okay, so when you're referring to quantum, it's basically like the in the Einstein's E equals MC squared, quantum is referring to the E, the energy, that is not in
that's right,
in,
that's
converted
right.
into matter yet.
Possibly even, you know, we think that it might be the zero point field or even down below that. But in any event, so imagine yourself, if you're, say you have 100, Dean Radin, an example that he gave me, imagine that there are 1,000 people standing around a lake or a pond, and you want to get that water out of the pond, so everybody picks up a rock and throws the rock into the lake. Well, if you do that, it's just going to have random splashes all over the place and nothing's going to happen. But if everybody were to throw that rock, their pebble, at the exact same moment, down to, you know, milliseconds, then some significant action would occur with that water coming out of the lake. It would almost be like throwing one large boulder in. But it takes cohesion of thought and focus, because otherwise all the rocks would pass themselves and drop randomly in the lake and do nothing but make a disturbed surface.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
What that reminds me of, I don't know how many of how many of our listeners have ever been to a sporting event, high school, college, professional, with the home team, and when you get the entire crowd aligned behind the team doing a particular item.
Like a wave. That's exactly right. That's exactly how it works.
I mean, that's a powerful energy.
It really is, and that's another thing. You know, there's a lot of evidence out there through the Western Research Foundation's conventional science that says that prayer doesn't do anything when you pray towards healing. Well, what they're missing there is that, you know, consciousness is not something that you can measure under traditional standards. You know, when you think prayer, if you really want something to happen, the best way to get it to happen is for everybody to do it at the exact same time. And the best time, Claude Swanson talks about this on his site, it's this synchronizeduniverse.com. There's a certain time in the morning where, for some reason, energy is more still than it is at any other time. It's like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
I can't remember.
Early.
Yeah, but it's on his site, and you can find it. And if everybody thinks the same thought, then much more will be accomplished, because, like, I hear a lot of people saying prayers that last for 30 minutes. I'm going, what are you doing? Are you spreading your intention out over 30 minutes? It's like if you want to shoot arrows, and you shoot 50 arrows at one time and they go all over the place, but if you get one big arrow all at the same time, then it's definitely going to hit that bullseye a lot easier.
Uh-huh.
So you think one focused thought, you know, the most focused, cohesive thought that you can, if you're wanting something to occur, as if it's already happened, thank you for help, or thank you for this money that I need. You don't spread it out over an hour, because then quantum entanglement comes involved, and it's like all those arrows shooting or crossing each other and canceling each other out, so you don't get very much of an effect. Does that make sense?
Oh, okay. So when you're doing that intention, you want to have an intention to put, and you want to put that forward to have a focused activity in an instant is better than trying to spread it out over time, if I'm understanding correctly.
As focused and cohesive, and what I mean by cohesive is, HeartMath Research Institute's done a lot of research on this, so people that are interested in what I'm saying can look at their site, Roland McCready's work. You've got an energy field that stands at about 10 feet. The greater the lack of cohesion in your thought, you know, the more pulled together you feel, the less stress, the less attention deficit that you are, and the more cohesive that field, the tighter that field is pulled to your body, the more action that you're going to see with your thoughts. And, you know, nothing's going to happen in an instant usually until you get to a very high consciousness level. Then you can actually manifest things very quickly. But don't give up when you're at the beginning, because it will come. Usually it takes mass about 10 years to manifest on the average. So the higher you raise your consciousness, the more in the moment, the more cohesive your field, you know, sit down, get without thought, because the goal of the soul is not to think, but to simply observe, like from a third-party perspective, what's going on around you.
That detachment.
That's what makes the difference, the detachment, yes.
Yes, many of the spiritual teachers have said that that's important. I know in my work, and a number of people that do muscle testing or kinesiology over the years of doing that, the difference in the quality and accuracy of my work has gone way up as I've relaxed more and gotten into that place of detachment from the outcome. Is the muscle test going to come out this way, that way, the other way, but just to be in that place of what I call "I will be done, Father," or from the standpoint, another standpoint of saying it, just let the chips fall where they may. It just is what it is, and you get out of the way of it, and all of a sudden the accuracy goes way up.
That's right. People don't realize it because we use terms that are language problems with scientists when we use terms like frequency. But when I say this, your electromagnetic field, the frequency of that field in Hertz changes the more cohesive you get your thoughts. So it makes you a more powerful being. You can do and accomplish more things if you can change that field. And if you don't, for the listeners that don't know what I'm talking about, there's a real good book out there called Power Versus Force by David Hawkins that puts it in a very simplistic language, so that you can grasp what I'm saying here.
Well, one thing that that's important to, when we think about accomplishing things, sometimes people are motivated by anger or just this intensity of some negative energy, like stop the war, anti-drug, anti-violence, different things. And what we're finding, I don't know if this makes any sense to you, that you want to, you get more of your goals achieved when you focus on a positive aspect. So rather than going to an anti-war rally, going to something that is promoting peace.
That's exactly right, because like I said before, if you were oscillating an electron or a negatively charged particle, which would be anger at anti-war, then you're transmitting negative energy and you're receiving it back at the same time. So go to the pro-peace and, oscillate a proton, so when that oscillates, it transmits and receives at the same time. I tell this story to some of my listeners. You know, you wouldn't stand out in a lake in a metal fishing boat in a lightning storm, I don't suppose, you know, because lightning, water conducts electricity.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think happens when you think of salt? A mini lightning bolt is created in your brain. It jumps from synaptic gate to synaptic gate to synaptic gate. Well, we already know that on the quantum level there is no mass. So there's, you know, the thought is not contained within a bone, because on the quantum level there is no bone. It goes out into the world. It's not contained. So it transmits and receives at the same time. So think the positive thought. Now, another thing that's important about this dialogue here is that what people don't know is when they're oscillating those protons and electrons, and it may be even on a smaller unit than that, say, you know, a quark or a gluon or something like that, you know, down on the irreducible unit level. But when that happens, when you think a negative thought, something happens in your body about 2 inches above your navel and about 2 or 3 inches in. You're going to get a feeling that feels somewhat like it feels when a police officer comes up behind you and turns on the blue light. Ooh. And the reason for that is science now knows that your abdomen and each one of your organs and organ systems are lined with something called neurons. Neurons are nerve cells, and nerve cells talk. We know that. That's what sends, you know, receives the impulses so you can pick up your hand or pick up your foot. Well, when you get that sense of heightened awareness, and what I tell people to do is bring up the negative things in your life, the negative experiences you've had, if you were touched inappropriately, or if you've had issues with a mother or a father or a spouse, bring it up in your mind and experience it right now. And if you get that sense of heightened awareness in your gut, and it may be as subtle as a butterfly wings, you've not dealt with it. You've not facilitated forgiveness.
Okay, so that means there's still what some people call an emotional charge, or
that's right,
or some negative energy still attached to that event.
That's right, and when that happens,
it's not cleared. Is that right?
That's right. That's a way of telling if you've really dealt with it.
Ah.
And what that means to your health is when that feeling is experienced, that funny, sticky feeling in your stomach, like when the policeman turns on that blue light, it sends an impulse to the brain, kind of like in Morse code, you know, like dot, 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 dot. And the brain interprets that. And when it interprets it, chemicals start firing, neurotransmitters get released, neuropeptides get released, and Candace Pert at Georgetown University has proven that each one of these chemicals, these neurotransmitters, which is like serotonin, cortisol, dopamine, norepinephrine, things like that,
yes.
when these things fire, each one, and there's a lot of them, there's 100 of them or more, each one is affiliated with a particular organ in your body. So that's why people that obsess with a particular thought maybe get heart disease, or another person that obsesses with a different thought. Let's say somebody that's been touched inappropriately, because that's a good one. So many people out there have had that experience in their life. If you've been touched inappropriately and you've not dealt with it and facilitated forgiveness, because forgiveness actually stops the firing of these chemicals. So if you stop the firing of these chemicals, you won't get sick. And what happens to people who've been touched inappropriately is the women get breast cancer and the men get prostate, testicular, and scrotum issues. All of them. If you have issues with love and hate where you hate somebody, you're going to have heart disease and blood vessel and blood artery issues. You're going to get ischemic inflammation issues in your vessels, artery walls, which then's going to lead to things like kidney problems. Kidney problems are associated with lack of self-worth and love and hate issues. If you worry about money, you're going to get issues with the bony fragments of your spine and your joints, particularly your hips. If you don't have emotional support in your life, if you have lack of emotional support and you fret over that all the time, I'm lonely, you're going to have soft tissue issues of your back, your hips, and your legs, you know, low back pain, shoulder pain, things like that. You're going to have some people get a disorder in their foot because the foot, the arch of the foot is not a bone. It's a flexible thing, and so it's considered by your body a lack of emotional support issue. And so that arch starts softening down, and a lot of people get an issue like it's called a Morton's neuroma on their neck to the last toe and the little toe on the outside. You know, these things can be fixed. If you have too much shit in your life, you know, this problem and that problem, just ridiculous shit all the time,
yeah,
you'll have colon problems, you know. If you have too many people in your life, too many people that can take care of themselves, but they don't, and you have them be codependent, then you're going to have, like, pancreatic problems and gallbladder problems because your pancreas starts squirting out too many enzymes that causes you to have ulcers and digestive problems. So that's why it's important what you think. Not only do you manifest peace or war in the world with what you think, but you manifest your health.
Yeah, and peace or war within your own body.
That's right. And a suggestion that I give to people who say, well, how do I stop the obsessive thought? You bring up, one thing that works for me is I bring up a black box right in front of, like blinders, you know, on a racehorse, right in front of my eyes. And you don't allow any pictures, letters, numbers, words, symbols, colors, nothing. You just hold the focus of black in your mind, because black, you know, we all know that frequency, everything that is based on frequency, the frequency of light.
Okay.
So if there's no color or no picture or symbol or word or number, then there's no thing there to manifest because it's pure black, sitting there waiting on you to be able to manifest. And what that does is it stops the firing of those neurotransmitters. So when you have an issue, you know, then you're laying in the bed obsessing over these thoughts over and over again, bring up this black box. And it's not as easy as you think. It's a job to learn how to do this, to focus, not allowing anything into that black box. But once you get to where you can do it for about 15 minutes, then you can call upon it anytime you need it, whether you're driving on the road or whether you're at work. You call upon this black box technique in the moment, and it jerks you back into reality because it will allow no thought. So if there's no thought, there's no thing to manifest. Does that make sense?
Oh, especially when you want to be able to cut out the negative influences.
That's all you got to do. I mean, it's as easy as that.
Now, how does that tie in? Because you wrote a book I want to mention, and of course, give people some, you know, the name of your book, which is, would you share that?
Well, my book is called Agape, which is Unconditional Love, The Intent of the Soul. Now, I have to say, my book is a verbatim experience of what happened to me. But quite frankly, it's a little bit too woo-woo even for me, because people don't accept woo-woo stuff very well. But it's the truth. It's what happened. You know, but now I come to understand that, because I talk in my book about channeling an entity, and that's where I got this information. It just happened in the blink of an eye, you know, and I didn't have any control over it. But now I understand that there really are no entities to be in between me and God, that I myself didn't feel worthy to go directly to God, and I have another comment on that in just a moment, or directly to, I like to use the word source.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel worthy, so I'm on my subconscious level, I made up an intermediary to do the connection for me. But really, since there is no mass on the quantum level, there is no distinction between me and you and a tree or the pavement on the road. There's no line separating us. The only thing that makes a difference is the atoms that make that pavement, the atoms that make you or a tree or a grass or dirt or me or whatever, vibrates at a different speed. So really, we are all one, and we are, in fact, God. We have the power of God. Because we are that. We just don't utilize it.
Well, that's one of the things that some people had mentioned to me in terms of a number of different religious sources talk about this concept. At the very, very simplest concept that people have probably heard at a casual level is the saying, what goes around comes around. At a deeper level, there's things referred to as the law of attraction, and then in the Bible, in different some of the different Bibles, whether it's the, you know, Old Testament or New Testament or Book of Mormon, there's a number of other sources I'm sure that would reflect something similar. There's a statement that says what a person asks for, believing that it is already theirs, will be given unto them. That powerful creative power is there when that leap of faith is made.
That's right. You know, people don't want to hear this sometimes. They don't want to hear that they have the power of God. And the mystics have known it for centuries. But the new cutting-edge science that's out there is proving it. The magnetic dipoles that I was just telling you about is the basis of why what goes around comes around. It's like two magnets. In fact, when bills work with that water, the South Pole, I can't remember what it was you had. I have to go back to his papers and read them. But the South Pole made it go up, and the North Pole made the pH go down, or it may be the opposite. But either way, one end of the pole did one thing of the magnet, and the other end pole made it go the other way.
And he was imagining a magnet or using one?
He had a little machine called an intention carrier.
Okay.
And he plugged his in. It's about the size of a garage door open. I actually have one, too, that I designed. But all it does is carries a frequency. And they focused their thought on this machine, so the machine came conditioned to this thought. They shipped the machine and the water across to the other side of the country and simply plugged it in and turned it on, and it happened. So what you're saying is the law of attraction is these magnetic dipoles. What goes around and comes around is based on physics. It's there. The fact that we do have and that we are God is being proven by modern science today. So people can't argue with it anymore. I mean, they can argue with it, but then it just makes them appear ignorant, because science, it either is or it isn't. In this case, it is.
Sure. Well, to me, one of the things that has been comforting is to realize there's a difference between what I would call our divine potential. When it was spoken, we are created in the image and likeness of the divine. And in John 14:12, one of my favorites, it speaks of when Christ is saying, "These works I have done, these miracles, follow my ways, and these and greater things than I've done shall you do, because I go unto my Father." And that's a powerful, powerful statement when one of the most revered divine people that ever lived, that came to the planet, has made a statement that says, "I did all these things, and you can do that and more."
Well,
so,
that's true. And science today, I mean, I could sit here and rattle off experiments that these scientists have conducted for the next 3 hours and prove it to you. But people still don't want to believe it, that
well,
it is what it is. You
well,
have the
me,
power.
I think part of the importance of some of the work that you do and some of the things as we reach out for healing is it's one thing to hear that we have this amazing potential, and it's another to apply that in the midst of busy lives, in the midst of a world that, if we look historically, has been in conflict for however long, it seems like as long as the planet's been here that we had people on it, there's been a lot of conflict.
Well, that brings up another passion of mine, and I think you and I were talking about that this morning when you called me. You know, I'm not really into conspiracy theories, you know, about the Illuminati and that kind of stuff, because to me that's negative, so I don't like to talk about it. But the fact remains that people like the Mayans have their calendar that's gone on for thousands of years. Well, it ends, the Mayan calendar ends in 2012. Why? You know, why is every mystic on the face of the earth giving us predictions about 2012? If it's true and nobody has any idea, but if the information is out there and things are pointing to it, we need to listen. And my friend Edgar Mitchell, you know, the astronaut that walked on the moon, he's got a friend that he introduced me to named Lester Brown, who wrote a book called Plan B2. Now, Lester's a scientist, and he focuses on statistics and things like that. And he's done years and years, decades of research on things like water tables, salt tables, you know, the rainforest, the ozone layers, all of our natural resources, coal, petroleum, all of them. And in this book, he has placed out statistics based on the current consumption rate of the world and the current population growth rate. And these are numbers now, hard numbers. It's not guesses, and it's not mystics just placing things out there. We don't have enough natural resources to last beyond 2012 based on the current consumption rate and the current population growth rate. Is it not interesting that that correlates with the ending of the Mayan calendar?
Mm-hmm.
It's something for people to listen to. This problem is serious. Something's going to happen. I don't think we're, like I told you this morning, I don't think we're going to have a bomb dropped on us and obliterate the entire world. But what I do think is that come 2012, or whether it's 13 or 14, it really doesn't matter, it's close. Come that time, the scales of energy and mass is going to tilt 51% more towards electrons or 51% more towards protons. And at that point, it's going to, I believe, it's going to be irreversible. And what I think that means to the people of the world is you better get ready to live a life like Iraq. You better get ready for bombings on your street. You better be ready for people to start murdering your children. You know, and who children...
That there's a potential for a very serious downside scenario that might play out.
That's right. Now,
what about the shifts in consciousness? Is it inevitable, or can a shift in consciousness make a difference?
Absolutely, because it's all energy. The thing that's going to make that shift in consciousness, who are the people that's going to be ruling the world in 10 years? Your children, my children. So who is it that can make a difference? Me and you? Technology is taking us over the edge. You know, we love our children by sending them emails. We love our children by calling them on our cell phones. You know, that's not the way to do it. The tribes in Africa, those tribal people, how do they love their children? They touch them. They put their arms around them. When their children do something wrong in that tribe, they become an outcast for a period of time, and they learn a lesson not to do that anymore. It's up to us to raise our children to treat one another like they want to be treated. It's up to us to let our children know what it feels like to be loved. Did you know that when you love somebody, let's say you're sitting at the table and with somebody, it doesn't matter who it is, and you love them. Well, something happens to your electromagnetic field, and HeartMath Research Institute has proven this. That electromagnetic field starts vibrating at a different rate. Well, the fields between people, since there's no distinction on the quantum level, they overlap. So when you send out love to that person, they get it. The dilation of their pupils change, the temperature of their skin changes, their breathing patterns change, their pulse rate changes. It makes a difference when you think, I love you. That's what's going to change the world.
Sure.
Taking responsibility of your own thoughts and the own, because it's your children and my children that's going to be making these changes.
Well, one of the things is an experiment that was done that's kind of so powerful in that venue. And there are these old sayings, what goes around comes around, life is what you make it. Well, an experiment was done where people were sitting around a table and they got in a really good mood. They got all kinds of happy, and they got some laboratory mice and took a little blood sample from these people and injected it into the mice. Nothing happened. The mice went about their little laboratory mouse days, and everything was just fine. Those same people, they got them in an upset state, angry, jealous, rageful, something pretty awful, and took the same amount of blood, got more laboratory mice, injected them, and within a few minutes, those mice were dead.
Who did that? That's interesting.
I'll have to check my sources on this. I heard about this through some researchers in college, that there is such a toxic level of negative chemicals that are released.
Well, it's those neurotransmitters firing. You know, Cleve Baxter, he's the guy that developed the lie detector test, the polygraph.
Yeah.
And he did some research with Dean Radin and with Roland McCready at HeartMath Institute. And he's the kind of guy that would come to work real early in the morning, like at 5 o'clock when there was nobody else there, so he could be in quiet. And he had some plants hooked up to some electrodes, and he was thinking, what can I do to get some kind of response on this EKG machine from these plants? And he thought, I know, I'll burn them with a match. So he reached in his desk and got a match and struck the match. And before he could burn the plants, the electrodes went crazy. He didn't even have to burn them. The plants knew. Now, the interesting thing about this was he did this over and over again. And in a period of time, the plants actually learned that he really wasn't going to burn them, so they stopped responding. Isn't that amazing?
That's, boy.
They learned that they weren't going to be burned, so they didn't have to get upset. He did another thing with eggs, too. He took two eggs, put electrodes on them, left one egg sitting on the counter, put a pot of boiling water on the stove, and held the egg over the boiling water, and the electrodes went crazy. It knew it was about to be boiled. Well, what does that tell you? If an egg knows, certainly a human being knows, and Dean Radin's proven that 10,000 times at Noetic Sciences. You know, we get it when a thought's sent out.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a difference.
Right. Well, to me, one of the things that's so important about your work, when we can help people to feel better, then is a better chance for them to be able to get these messages. I don't know about my listeners, but I know for myself that when I've been stressed out or ill, all of these subtle factors that are there and obvious to others went right past me. And the work that you do, if people go to, I guess, what is it, EvaHerr, EvaHerr.com, they can
mm-hmm.
learn more about the work that you've done, some exquisite work as a medical intuitive.
What I think that I can do for people, and I don't think that I'm special. I think that anybody, now that I look back on my life, I see that it was always there and I just didn't recognize it. But what I think's available and what I think's important, because the big insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies are going to make sure that you don't have good insurance benefits down the road. They're also going to take our supplements away. Go to citizens.org and look up what's going on with our supplements. It'll scare the wits out of you. But what I think I can do, I think that I can detect illness 10 years down the road. I've been successful so far, and so far, knock on wood, I've never been wrong. So if you call me up for a reading, and I believe I can tell you that if you have one cell of cervical cancer in you, or one cell of breast cancer in you, you know, what's better, prevention or waiting for it to fully manifest and then have to get chemotherapy? Wouldn't you rather know if you have one cell right now? And if I can tell you a few simple alternative things like changing your diet to raw and living and sprouting foods, using things like the blood zapper, you know, using your supplements, using things Golden Seal, which is a natural antibiotic.
Yeah. Does it help to spend a few minutes a day in this agape love state?
Exactly.
Oh.
Stop the firing of those neurotransmitters. Treat other people like you want to do. And ultimately, forgiveness is the key to everything.
But how much does it cost to buy that agape love
state? Nothing.
Oh, it's free?
Yeah, for free you can get well. For free, you can be happy. Isn't that amazing?
Well, that's sometimes easier said than done when someone's not feeling well. And yet, I want to put that out there just for the awareness that love that is so powerful for healing, and just even a few moments of it, 30 seconds, or laughter and joy.
For free, you don't have to pay insurance policies anymore every month, you know, $1,000 or $500, whatever it is. For free, you don't have to go to work and be miserable anymore. For free, you don't have to hate that ex-spouse anymore or that person that abused you. For free. It's free.
It's nice to know that some of the most powerful healing is there and available to us. What I think is important is sometimes there's an old saying, that when a person is under enough stress and pressure, it may be a little difficult for them to take advantage of some of these things, which to me is one of the reasons that you and I and so many people out, caring individuals out there, are offering assistance in different ways to help people lighten their stress load, to help them to feel better, to get some support, because we know that if someone gets enough support, they're going to be able to take this advice and use these free spiritual methods that are so powerful.
You know, all I have to say about that is people don't want to believe it. All you got to do is try it. How do you know you don't like vanilla ice cream if you don't try it? Just try it for 6 weeks. Doing what, you know, staying in the moment, observing instead of reacting, and forgiving. You know, because really, you know, if there's no math on the quantum level, we're not really here to begin with. So if we're not really here, who really did anything? It's just an experience. You know, try it for 6 weeks and see what happens. And if nothing happens, quit doing it.
Well,
but what you'll find is that...
when I remember that experiment with the angry people and the blood injected into the mice, and the mice... succumbing and dying from that toxic level. And then I thought about spiritual people that said, love your enemy, turn the other cheek. I began to think to myself, well, they weren't talking about being wimps. They were kind of there saying, well, hey, be smart, my beloved people. If you need to take action, take action, but don't poison yourself with anger or resentment. Because when you do that, you're hurting yourself. Now, here's a saying. One of my favorite ministers over the years had a saying about resentment. He said that when you're upset and resenting someone, it's like you're taking poison and waiting for the other person to die.
That's right. That's a good analogy. You know, and I kind of like to make it clear, you don't really have to turn the other cheek because you're not put here to be a martyr. But what you can do, because you don't have to sit and take it and take it and take it and take it, what you can do is close the door on that relationship and say, I love you and I forgive you and I accept you for who you are. But from now on, certain topics are off the list for discussion. And close the door. And if they don't respect that, because it's all about boundaries and respect, then you're going to have to let that relationship go, unless you just like being abused.
Yeah,
you know, let it go.
Just like you said with the native tribes, they would put someone out away from the tribe for a period of time till they could learn the lesson of what was important. And in relationships, if boundaries are being violated, then you may have to put things on hold for a period of time. And I like the idea of through forgiveness that healing can take place. And the Pope, not that many years ago, who was shot, kind of made the world feel better when he forgave the person that shot him.
Oh, look at those Amish people the other day. You know, did you hear about
what
that?
What is that? Please.
A man went into an Amish school and murdered a bunch of the children. Well, that night, the family of one of the murdered children went to the man's home, because he killed himself too, went to the man's home of the family members and said, it's okay, we forgive you. It's okay. You know, and their child had just been murdered that morning. Another thing that I wanted to say, I kind of lost my train of thought for a minute.
Okay, well, it'll come back into the station shortly.
Yeah, I hope so. Those dipoles need to be
well,
working.
Well, one thing while you're pausing, did you want to share the website again and your phone number for people to, or email address for people to get in touch with you?
Well, my website is evaher.com.
That's EvaHerr.com.
And my phone number is 404-513-2895. And my email is evaher@gmail.com.
Okay. Well, that's important for them to be able to know how to reach you, because I know there's going to be people out there that have some health issues or want to check and see and just do a look-see to make sure that they're feeling as good as they feel.
You had one of those readings.
Uh-huh.
How did you experience it?
I found it very helpful. It gave me some insight to check on some of the behaviors that I was doing and was able to make some corrections in some of my lifestyle things that were helpful that I might not have done.
It was right, too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known those things about you.
No?
Oh, one thing I wanted to say to the people. If you're in a difficult relationship, what you're getting is a mirror of yourself, the behavior that you're seeing in someone else. It's a mirror of what you're giving them. They're reacting to something that you're doing, so take responsibility for it. You know, change yourself, and something will happen with the person that you're facing.
It's so interesting. Old sayings that there's an old saying, no one can love you more than you love yourself.
That's right.
And so I had to take a look in the mirror, because it was sort of like going, okay, well, if I'm not setting a good example, if I'm not caring for myself and setting the example, then when others show up and they're not very loving, it's not a surprise. They're basically following the example that I've set.
That's right.
And that's pretty confrontive place for a person to, I mean, when I finally started to realize that and take a look at different ways of, you know, how am I treating myself? Is my life in balance? Am I giving myself the caring and affection and the warmth and the recreation, all of the things that are important for a healthy life? And if not, and people are showing up and not being very nice, then it was sort of like incumbent upon me to, at some point in time, instead of blaming them, go, oops, I'm sending out the wrong signal. And in that, what goes around comes around. If I didn't send out enough love, then guess what came back?
That's right. And if it's true, you know, I like to get into the science as much as I can, because that's the absolute proven fact of why these things happen. If you have two magnets, you know, and you put the opposite poles together, they're going to attract one another. So if you have things in your life that don't feel good, then you're attracting that thing, because everything is about electromagnetism. So when the person presents in your life, take a check for a minute, an internal check. What kind of look are you presenting on your face when they walk in the door? Is it tight and drawn up? Are your eyes kind of squinted together? Is it portraying and putting out there some kind of negative feeling? Because if it is, that's what you're going to get. And in addition, you will bring into your life those people to make you look at what the things that you need to change in your own life. So if you don't like the people that you're bringing into your life, you need to take a look at how you're behaving and how you're thinking, because they're there to teach you a lesson so you can stop doing it. The sooner you recognize that, the sooner they will go away.
Yeah.
And I found that in my own life. But sometimes, you know, in physical reality, we do not have complete free will. You know, because you can't guarantee me, Eva, I'm going to meet you at Starbucks at 3 o'clock. You cannot guarantee me you're going to be there at 3 o'clock on the nose. So the ultimate consciousness, God, source, whatever you want to call it, it does have a plan. So you have the free will to place out the intentions that you want, but you can't always manifest everything because of that underlying thing that nobody knows about, God or source. So when those things happen, the only choice that you have to do is sit back and observe them. You can't control those things that come in your life, but what you can do is control how you react to them and control the firing of those neurotransmitters that make you sick by staying in the moment.
Yeah.
Not what was 5 minutes ago, and not what might be 5 minutes from now, but what is going on at this instant.
Like the Amish people did.
That's right.
Is to be in that place of choice where the average individual might have been very angry and hurt and very vengeful, and said, no, I'd never forgive those people. They're terrible. They deserve terrible things to happen to them, on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, from that place of choice, the event happened, and their interpretation of it was one that allowed them to feel forgiveness. And in that place of forgiveness, they didn't poison themselves with anger towards someone else, and two, from that place of forgiveness, they got to feel the love within themselves and then share that love with someone else.
That's right. And
pretty powerful.
People forget, if indeed there is no separation between us and anything else, it means, you know, that we are one, and the oneness, or God, if you want to call it that, knows everything. We knew what we were getting into when we came into this life. We knew if we were going to be a fetus that was aborted. We knew if we were going to be murdered by a murderer like that. We knew it, and we chose it to teach us something on a spiritual level to accelerate the growth of our soul. So every soul knows what they're getting into. They chose it before they ever came here, so you can't be angry at someone else for something that was chosen by that individual. So forgiveness is key.
Which comes right back into your book about living in that agape energy of compassionate love for our fellow man, and of course,
that's right,
compassionate love for ourselves.
That's right.
So, Eva, I want to thank you so much for taking time from your busy schedule to share your consciousness and loving presence with our listeners, and certainly invite those of you out there, remember to visit evaherr.com. If interested in a personal reading or more information, Eva can be reached at on the East Coast in Georgia at 404-513-2895. Reasonable hours, of course, folks, as a family. You can send an email any time of night or day to evaherr@gmail.com.
I would like to say one more thing. There's a new documentary coming out in the spring called Metaphysia, Metaphysia. I'm going to be in there, so I'll be watching that, for that to come out. So will Bill Tiller and Claude Swanson and Norm Shealy, a bunch of the people that are out there on the cutting edge, so watch for that to come out. It's metaphysia.com.
Oh, boy.
Agape, Ken, and thanks for having me on your show.
You're
honey.
Welcome, and my beloved listeners, wishing you a blessed, wonderful week. Until we meet again next Saturday, I love you, and I know God loves you. So have a wonderful week.
Bye. Good night.
For now.
Let go and let God, let myself lose and let go of it. Let it go, let it go. Let go and let God, let myself free and let go of it. Let it go, let it go. Let go and let God, let myself lose and let go of it. Let it go, let it go. Let go and let God, let myself free and let go of it. Thank you.